Bushun in den way magani dug. Beshko benesia que indigo. Mang in du dame, ga osa squatchy me cog and dunjba, ga mesqua wako cog ninda. Elaine Fleming in dishina cause. The name the universe knows me by is One Thunderbird Woman. And I'm a member of the Loon Clan. I'm a member of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe, and I live in Cass Lake, Minnesota, but we call it Gamisquawakokag, a place where there were red cedar trees. And that has to do with that lumber industry, of course, came here and changed our whole landscape and cut down so many of our trees in the late 1800s. In early 1900s, that they had to come up with a new business to make money, and that became tourism. And of course, we know about the tourism business now. Fishing openers coming up here, and the fishermen will be up here, and the tourists will be up here too. So I've been talking about the Bagunogishik School, and I started out by talking about Mike Schmidt and Rose Gogolai, who were the first two teachers at the Bagunogishik School. And it started when 80 students walked out of the Cass Lake School in 1975. But it started before then, too, because it was about racism. And that story goes way, way back, all the way back to Europe, to the medieval ages. And when the people over there thought that that pagan people who didn't believe in Christianity, that they were not quite human. And so that philosophy was carried over here to the United States of America. And so our federal Indian laws, that's what that's based on, that type of racism, that we're not quite human. And so the government has to take care of us, and that's that trust relationship. So there needs to be a lot of education. And that's what was going on when these students walked out. It was about racism. And there had been a group that was formed by some concerned parents. And those parents, they called their group, let's see, what was the name of that group? I'm sorry. Concerned Parents of Indian Students. That's what the group of Indian parents formed, a group called the Concerned Parents of Indian Students. And the principal at that time, he, in a public meeting, he said about this group, he said they should be called, quote, Concerned Idiots of Indian Students, end quote. So it was a time when the people in the 70s, the 70s were standing up for their tribal rights, for their rights as human beings. And in Cass Lake, that's what was happening too. That's what LaDuke Fisher was talking about. She was explaining the times. And she said that that group that had been formed had been considered a militant group, but the group didn't think of themselves in that way. And so I'm going to begin to talk about the American Indian Movement. And right now there's a AIM chapter in Bemidji Kamag. I was reading about it last night. And but at this time, AIM, they did come to Cass Lake in 1970 over the fishing rights. But there wasn't an AIM group formed. But AIM was very much disliked by certain of our peoples, and then some of them liked them. So I want to share some information about that American Indian Movement. They were in the same boat, and AIM was a seed that sprouted in Stillwater State Prison. In The Thunder Before the Storm, an autobiography about Negun Wewedon, also known as Clyde Belcourt, who was born in 1936. Well, Negun Wewedon had been in the hole for many days. He had been placed in solitary confinement because he too had been protesting his lack of education. Promises made to him that when he was transferred from St. Cloud Reformatory, he would receive education through on-the-job training by working in the Stillwater State Prison power plant. Through this education, he would get his first-class engineer's license, and then he'd be able to get a decent-paying job when he was released from prison. Once he was transferred from St. Cloud to Stillwater, they wouldn't let him work in the power plant. So Negun Wewedon, Clyde Belcourt, which means that the thunder before the storm. And what he did was he protested, and he because of his own search for self-determination, he was placed in solitary confinement, where he fasted for over 30 days. In solitary confinement, he was locked in his cell for 23 hours a day. He was kept there for 2.5 months. In the book, Negun Wewedon writes, "First they took my books, then my mattress, then my clothes, then they shut off the lights. For 10 days they kept me naked in total darkness. I was ready to die. I wanted to die." And that's what Clyde Belcourt says about himself in the solitary confinement. So many of our people know this story, huh? Our people being relocated to boarding schools, to reformatories, to prisons and foster care. Our people being relocated from our reservation to Minneapolis, Los Angeles, Denver, and Chicago. It was all part of historical trauma and the resulting historical loss symptoms that resulted. The continuing story of the government's trust relationship with Indigenous Americans. Take them away from their families. Take them away from their people, their land, their culture, and assimilate them. Let them learn how to be good U.S. citizens. Our country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, not. So, Negun Wewedon, he had attended St. Benedict's Mission School as a child. He ran away so often that he was eventually charged with truancy and delinquency at the age of 11. That judge at the time gave him a choice of going back to the mission school, where his hands had been beaten bloody with the metal side of a ruler because of his unacceptable behavior, and this was done by nuns, or he could go to Red Wing. So that was his choices. He could go back to the mission school, or he could go to Red Wing State Training School. In Negun Wewedon's book, he says that he chose Red Wing. And when he finally got out of Red Wing, his family had relocated to Minneapolis. So Negun Wewedon, he joined them. There, he was in and out of trouble and ended up in St. Cloud Reformatory and was eventually transferred to Stillwater State Prison. So he was in Stillwater State Prison in the hole, and a seed was sprouting. He wrote that one day he heard someone whistling, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine." And Negun Wewedon, he looked out his peephole, and Eddie Benton Benet was out there. Eddie was calling out, "Is there a Clyde Belcourt here?" Negun Wewedon said that he was so angry about life that he didn't even answer. And for 4 days, Eddie came back and whistled and called out for Clyde Belcourt. Eventually, Clyde answered. And so the story, I'm going to stop it right now, but I'm going to continue because this is, I'm just talking about a militancy and the groups and how people looked at each other back in the 60s and 70s. And so I'm going to share some more information about Clyde Belcourt, because he and Eddie Benton Binet and other people like Nawa Cummick, Mr. Banks, they formed that AIM, and they did a lot of things for the indigenous people. And I want to share a little bit of that because it's part of our history. So, mi gwech bisandawi yeg, mi gwech mi yo.